First of all, let's make sure that you are in the right room. That is the session that we are going to cover right now. Everybody still okay? Okay. All right. Before I get started, I have to give you a small story, right? I mean, you probably are hearing stories. We all got speaker training. We have to start with a story or a joke. But what I'm telling you is a true story, okay? So for this session initially, actually they invited somebody else. They invited a very, really, really good speaker from the East Coast. He said he could not make it. Then what they did, they actually invited a very senior EPM consultant who is a very technical guy. The weather is bad in East Coast, he still could not make it. Then this time what they did was they had to get somebody at least good looking. So I could not say no for the third time, right? So with that, I only have one ground rule in my sessions, okay? I kind of do these sessions many times. Only one ground rule, do not fall asleep, okay? I was told that I have a knack of putting people to sleep. Do not do that. You know what happens when you don't pay attention? I get nervous first, okay? Because the room is too silent. Then I start speaking too fast, like we Indians do. We use a lot of words. And then, because I am an engineer by education, I go back to the beginning. Okay, I'll start with, you know, they invited somebody else, and I'll start from zero again. We don't want that to happen, right? So this is going to be a very demo intensive session. I realize that it is going to be technical, it is going to be more details than you really need to know. I try to keep it as simple as possible, but there are things you should know to make these things happen. That's why if you see anything that you don't understand, move on with it. Keep in pace with me. I'm going to provide you links at the end that you can follow. Okay, without further ado, that's who I am. That was the nicest picture I could find. That's at least 5 to 6 years old. I don't allow anybody to take my pictures so that I can keep using that. Okay, who am I? I mean, if people don't know me already, if you have not looked up my profile, my name is Prasanna Adavi. Actually, it is supposed to be said as Prasanna Adavi, but I adjusted to the American culture, right? So anyway, there is a lot of details on the slide. I don't want to go through this. I have been either a project manager or an EPM consultant for overall 9 years. Started in 2004, started with a virtual project server 2003, and moved on from there. Okay? And then you have my contact details in case you need to get in touch with me. And there's our company blog. I'm from a company called EPMA. We are based out of Houston, Texas. And you have our company contact details there as well. Okay, so that's enough about me. So what is that we are trying to solve here? First of all, how many in this room actually use Project Server? Good number of people. Okay, how many actually put thought into archiving your projects? Right there is your answer. Right? So project archiving is generally an afterthought. A lot of times the thought process is, let's get the projects in, let's get people using timesheets, let's get people using Project Server. We'll talk about archiving later. That later never comes. You keep building projects and projects, slowly your system performance starts getting impacted, your reports start getting impacted, and then a lot of bad things start to happen, okay? And the other thing is, even if you set up a process, I mean, there is a Microsoft best practices document that details as to how to archive your projects. The problem with that is somebody has to remember to do it. If you have a really good admin like me, you might be on pace. But a lot of times what happens is there is no reminders. Archiving doesn't happen right after project closes. Is that a normal scenario? In all your companies, you don't just close a project and then archive everything, right? There's almost like an year of reporting that should be done. There's a fiscal year considerations, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so for various other reasons, archiving doesn't really happen the way it should. The second thing is, projects are not just schedules anymore. Maybe they were at some point. Maybe they are if you just use desktop product. There is a lot of documents, issues, risks, deliverables, all these artifacts you are putting in project sites. How many people use project sites here? Yes. There you go. So what do you do with that? Then if you have a really good SharePoint team helping you out with all this stuff, maybe they already have some retention policies, all this defined. But if not, how do you do it? And finally, so let's say you do figure out how to manually take all these artifacts and put somewhere in some place. But you might be talking, if a typical engineering program runs across 5 years, in those 5 years, how many documents would you collect? Thousands and thousands of documents. How would you organize all that stuff? So those are the three things we are trying to address here. Okay? So what is the solution? Use workflows. Why workflows? Especially in 2013? Because they come out of the box. Workflows were introduced, well, they were always there, but they were more prominent, they became more prominent in the 2010 version. But you had to use Visual Studio to build any reasonable workflow or buy a third-party product like Nintex or any other product. But in 2013, you can build workflows straight out of the box using SharePoint Designer. Okay? So right when I said workflows, two people left the room. I'm just kidding. Workflows have got a bad rep, especially in the project management world. They don't really serve more purpose other than some governance. There is too complicated. People don't hit submit to move to the next stage. I have had so many arguments with my fellow consultants as to why workflows are not even necessary. They should have their process defined and all that. I agree with most of them. If you don't have your process defined, the tool will not help you. But there are ways we can still take advantage of this kind of stuff using the tools available in which archiving is one of the scenarios. Okay, so before you walk out, first of all, do you need to be a developer to do this? The answer is no. I am not a developer. I am a mechanical engineer by education, and I am very, very, very graphic user, GUI kind of a guy. I cannot figure out what coding is. But there is enough documentation Microsoft has provided on workflows in 2013. I figured everything out just by reading the documentation. You will see why. It is simple. I won't say it's easy, but it is simple. Okay, will it work with Project Online? I'm going to use my own Windows Azure hosted instance, but this will work with Project Online. In fact, I built the entire demo online, but I'll tell you the reason why I'm using Azure, because there are some timer jobs that I don't have any control over for me to show you the demo. That's the only reason I'm using my own instance. Otherwise, everything I'm showing will work on Project Online, exactly the way it is shown. Okay, do you need to buy any add-on products? No. We are going to use SharePoint Designer. I talked about all that already. Okay, how much automation? Well, there are things that you can automate. There are things that you cannot automate when you're not a developer. If you're a developer, you can pull the entire thing out and build your own project management system, for all I know. So what I'm going to show you the maximum one scenario where in which I consider automating the archival process. You might decide to use that as a starting point and move on from there. Okay? And don't look bored. I'm almost done with my slides. Okay? We'll launch into the demo. All right. So let us define our requirements. How many of you are PMs, actual day-to-day PM? Right? So what is the first thing we are supposed to do? Define our requirements. So this is, let's say there is a fictitious client, Contoso, right? So the first requirement that needs, in my scenario, is archiving does not happen right after closure. We need to introduce some kind of a delay, okay? The second requirement is there has to be a reminder. If the programs run years and years together, project is closed today, let's say your reporting period is 1 year, after a year, meanwhile, there are 5 administrators who come and go. So there should be a reminder that goes to the admin group. The third one, archived projects should not appear in reporting. Makes sense, right? Fourth one, all the artifacts should be in one central repository. Again, these are custom requirements in my scenario. You might have a different requirement. And then I want those artifacts to be properly organized without me putting in much effort. Okay? So, high-level process view. I'm going to just move to this side. So, project manager closes the project. Then there is a wait period, okay, for reporting purposes. And admin gets a reminder. And then this is what happens. The schedules are archived, and then we are going to send all issues, documents, and risks. I'm going to demo with only documents, but the same applies for issues and risks. Okay, so we are going to do our demo in 3 parts. Okay, my demo has 3 elements. One is we are going to build workflow for projects to move through stages and hit upon a reporting time period. And then we are going to build a central repository to hold all these artifacts. And the third one is we're going to use a project site workflow to do whatever, move all these documents somewhere. Okay? So that's all my slides. Let me jump into the demo. Before I go, any questions so far? Okay. All right, so you probably have seen this a million times already. This is the homepage of Project Server 2013. Okay, I have several projects listed already. Okay, there are several projects in different statuses. So I have been running tests and stuff like that. Okay, so what we are going to do is first make sure that your project workflow elements are set up properly. So I have set up some stages, again, like very simple. Some phases, stages. If you're not familiar with setting up of these workflow stages, make sure you attend the session on demand management workflows tomorrow. I have those session numbers in one of my slides later, so you might want to attend that. But the prerequisite is you need to have certain workflow stages and phases defined first to be able to build a workflow around them. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into SharePoint Designer. This is a free download available on Microsoft site. I'm going to, first of all, here, if you have used the 2010 version, right off the bat, you can see the difference. In 2010, you cannot even open PWA in a SharePoint Designer interface. It's logged. So right off the bat, you can see the difference. Okay, I'm going to just open that site. It will read all the elements and bring it down. Once it comes up, I can show you. Okay, there we go. So this is like any other SharePoint site interface. If you have worked even a little bit above with SharePoint Designer, you will recognize this. Okay, so I'm going to jump into workflows, and you see that there are certain workflows I've been testing with. So I'm going to start by building a site workflow. Okay, if you have configured your workflow, you need to put in certain pieces in place in your form. There is a workflow manager installation. Again, I'm not going to detail all that stuff. I'm going to assume that you have all your infrastructure pieces lined up before you hit this point. Okay, so a good proof that you have everything set up correctly is that you will see this new type of platform called SharePoint 2013 Workflow with Project Server. Okay. So I'm going to call it, let's say, Project Archival ProjConf. Okay, you can give any name. So it will bring you a blank screen to begin with. What I'm going to do, the first thing is you need to add your stages first. So I'll go click on stage and just quickly add all these stages before I do anything. Okay, so again, you can pick and choose whichever stages you want. I'm going to just add all 5 stages that I have. Stage 5, archive. Okay. So for our demo purposes, we are only interested in what happens between closure and archiving. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just put simple actions. If you click on action, you will see a new section here called Project Web App Actions. There is four things that you can do with specifically Project Web App. But the beauty of this whole scenario is you can take advantage of all the SharePoint activities that are available. And you will see how. Okay, I'm going to do what I'm going to do is set as a project event. And this is all logic, right? What do we want to happen? When project is submitted from stage one to stage two, or stage one scope to stage two requirements, we just want the workflow to move in the background. That's simple logic. That's all I'm going to do. So I'm going to say wait for until the project is submitted, go to stage, and go to stage two. And I can copy this action so that I don't have to type it again and again. Okay. And then copy that, put it here. Oh. Okay. All right. So I'm going to change that to stage three, stage four. Okay, so all it does right now, once I publish it, is just as soon as I hit submit button on the ribbon, it will just keep moving from stage to stage. Okay, but once it comes to the closure stage, what do I want to happen? First thing is, I want to make sure I want to set a project field. Okay, so I want to say project status equals closed. So project status is a custom field I set up just to indicate the status of the project. Okay. The next thing I want to do is let's say we want to introduce some delay, right? We don't want the workflow to move to the next stage. So we want to say pause for a duration, I'm sorry. Okay, so action, scroll down and say pause for a duration. This is where that requirement we had to introduce a delay between closure and archiving comes into picture. So you can delay for any number of days. Generally, I have seen in many scenarios, it is a year of reporting. So remember, if you, let me ask you this question. What is your reporting period? After a project is closed, how long do you keep them in the database before you delete them or do something with it? Any takers? Is it a year? Go ahead, sir. Okay, but that makes sense. So generally in a year, approximately, right, give or take, whether it aligns with a fiscal year or whether it aligns with a beginning to the end. So you can set that here, any number of days or years or minutes. So I'm going to just do 1 minute just for our demo. Otherwise, we'll be here forever. Okay, so then what I want to do is I want to move it to the next stage. So go to archive. Okay, you should notice that I did not introduce a submit action here. As far as I'm concerned, when a project manager does the closure activities, remove remaining work, unassign or remove remaining work, take close all the tasks, mark everything complete, he's done. After a year, we are not going to ask him and come back and submit the project again. Archive. So we want the workflow to do it automatically. Okay, so it will automatically move to the archive stage. And once it moves to the archive stage, I want certain things to happen. The first thing is, I want a task to be assigned to the administrators. Right? So I'm going to assign a task. If you are noticing what I'm doing, I'm kind of mixing up the activities that are SharePoint based and also project server based. That to me is really, really powerful, because now you can actually introduce a lot of scenarios where you can play with the SharePoint activities. Okay, where I'm only showing you like a tip of the iceberg. Okay, so who are we assigning this task to? I'm going to click on that small blue link, and I can look up who is available. It can be a specific name. I like to generally do it by group. So I'm going to assign it to a group called Administrators for Project Web App. So whoever is in that group will get a notification saying, guys, you are supposed to do, the project is ready for archiving after a year of marination, whatever. So now you are go do these 15 things. Okay? So I'm going to say what should be my task title. So I can write up a custom message. So instead of saying, instead of making the administrator guess which project they are going to supposed to do these things on, I'm going to use some of the project data that is already available. Okay? So we want project name. It is available out of the box. There is nothing I need to do, no reading variables, nothing. Project name is readily available. So I'm going to say project name is ready for archiving. Okay? That's your task title. That will show up on the message subject. And then I'm going to write up some message. Okay? Hi, the project. Again, project name is ready for archiving. Okay, complete the following steps, something like that. Okay, the first thing we want them to do is we want them to run a site workflow on the project site. And I will come back to this later. I'll explain why I'm putting this message. And I will provide a URL. So I'm going to say, I'm going to give the URL of the PWA. So ps2013app.cloudapp.net/PWA. Okay. And then I'm going to give project name. What is it? There's a mistake in the URL? Oh, okay. You mean right there?
The number. You have 2,103.
Oh, okay. Good catch. I'm glad you're paying attention. See, I did it on purpose. All right. And then complete this task. And then celebrate, something like that. Okay, so that's the message I'm going to put in there, and I'm going to hit OK. The next thing I'm going to do is, let's say your organization policy is to delete this project from draft and published databases as a part of your archiving process. Not everybody wants to maintain these and in the background. So that is one thing you will have to do it manually. There is no default action available to say, okay, go delete these from the databases. That is one reason. The second reason is also if you are talking about project online, there is no archive database to store it per se, to store it in. So you cannot really delete, you can delete it from your draft and publish, but there is no other place the database data exists. So all in all, what you can do is, instead of deleting, one of the better approaches, especially if you are using project online, is set a custom field to say archive and use that custom field to filter out in all your reports. You can come up with a better approach, but that seemed to be the most easiest one that we could come up with. Okay? But before that, what we would like to do is, let's say if you are using on-premises version, and you want to delete this data. In fact, there was a question my colleague was telling me in yesterday's Chalk Talk, was that if you delete these projects from draft and published, it automatically deletes the data from reporting database as well, reporting tables as well. So how do you report on it after you do this archiving? So wouldn't be a good idea to capture a snapshot of this data before deleting in some place? Is that a good idea? Just so that you can report on it, or maybe it's like the total cost, actual start, actual finish, some of the key project data. So you can actually do that using SharePoint Designer. So what I did before coming here was I created a simple SharePoint list called Project Snapshot. You see there are a couple of values there. I created some columns for the things I wanted to capture. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add that action as a part of this workflow. So I'm going to say create list item. In this list, So I pick up that list, project snapshot data, okay, and I'm going to define what I want to capture. I'm not going to do a lot of stuff in the interest of time. So I'm going to say project data goes into that, and then we can add as many values as we want. So I'm going to say total cost comes from this value. Okay, so you can add as many values as you want. All the custom fields that you will add, let's say you probably have 50 custom fields at a project level, they will all be available as part of this screen so that you can capture that snapshot. And you only have to do it one time as a part of designing your workflow. Once you do that, it will keep taking a snapshot every time you archive a project. Okay, for now, I'm just going to do those two. And then what I want to do is set project field. We already did this in Clojure, but I'm going to do it one more time. This time I want to set archive. And finally, what I want to do is add some like custom workflow messages so that we know what's going on. Okay, so set project stage status. There's no input, so I'm going to just type in a value. So the project is currently waiting for archival. Okay, check back in a few days. Something like that. You can put any message you want. I'm sure you can come up with a better message than that. Okay, so, and then finally, after it says so archived, I'm going to just say action, go to stage, and then end my workflow. Okay, so is there anything? Okay, let me just make sure. Okay, how do I know that how do I check if I have any errors in my workflow? There is a button that is provided, so I'm going to click check for errors. Good thing, my workflow does not contain any syntax errors. That's what it checks for, and some logical checks as well. But pretty much, it doesn't have any errors. Okay, before I publish, anybody, any questions? Okay, yes. That is up to your organization requirements. That is not something we are doing it through the workflow. I was just quoting that as an example. For example, in 2010, when you archive a project, there are two methods you can do it. One is create a security category, deny permissions for everybody, like hide it, but it still exists in the database. So whenever you run a report, it is, unless you are filtering out those projects, it is very likely that they'll show up. The other method is to actually delete them from the draft and publish database, which eventually takes it away from the reporting database and leave it only in the archive database. That is an approach we used to do it in 2010. And when we did that action, we would take away the project site also, depending on whatever your customer requirements are. Here, in this workflow, we are not doing any of that stuff. All we are saying is, hey, administrator, the project is ready for archiving. It's been an year since the project has been closed. You've got to do something. And for the artifacts, here is a workflow you can run. If your organization wants you to just hide them away, do this. If your organization wants you to delete, go and manually delete those. I wish I could automate the deletion also, but there is no default action available. I'm sure with custom code it can be done, but that's not what we're trying to show today. Does it answer your question?
In your task you sent to the individual, you had the project name. Is there any way to make that a hyperlink that they can click on it in the body of the email they get to go to the project?
Okay, let me.
Yes. You don't have? Yeah.
So you mean this one?
Yeah.
You can directly provide a link, actually. I don't think you can directly make that a hyperlink, but you can actually pull the current site URL from the workflow context and provide it in the background. So if you just did what I did, it will not show up as a hyperlink. But you can make that a variable. In the variable, you can store the current site URL as a workflow context and attach it to the name. I mean, we can. I can show it to you offline if we can. If you want to do it.
All right.
Okay. All right. So one other thing I kind of missed of mentioning is you can decide whether you want the subsequent workflow actions will wait for this task completion or they just keep happening. So in my case, I'm going to wait for the task completion so that setting off archival stage status, all that stuff happens after the project admin does that stuff. Okay? So I'm going to hit OK, go ahead and publish. So it's going to publish the workflow. It's generally fast depending on how complex your workflow is, but it's generally pretty fast. Okay, so now the next step for us to do to make sure this project workflow is recognized is come into server settings, enterprise project types, pick any enterprise project type. I have my own custom enterprise EPT. So if you drop that down, you will see your workflow available right here. So going forward for this EPT, that workflow will apply. So I'm going to hit save. Okay, so I don't want to test it yet because remember my demo had three parts. So I had my first building block is done. I'm going to move on to my second building block. Who remembers what my second building block was? Fantastic. All right. So there's a reason why he sat on the first row. Okay, so what I'm going to do is we are now entering a little bit into SharePoint world. So hang on with me. Like I said, if you don't follow everything, there is enough. Whatever I'm showing you is not anything new. It has been there since 2010. We're just taking advantage of it in a new interface and new GUI, that's all. Okay? So in the interest of time, what I did was I just created a document center. It's as simple as go create. Your SharePoint admin can do it for you if you already have. If you are the project server administrator, it's as simple as creating a site collection outside of PWA and saying, this is my document center. Okay? So once you are here, I kind of set it up already, but I'll show you what I have done. So if you go into site settings and click on site features, remember one of our requirements was to organize the content. There is a feature in 2010 that actually been in 2010, carried over to 2013, called Content Organizer. You need to activate that. So we activate Content Organizer, and as soon as we do that, you get something called a drop-off library. Okay? And I added the remaining libraries myself, and I'll explain you why. And once you activate that feature, what you also will get is a web service URL which you can use to send documents. So let's pick that. Okay, so this is a simple example. I'm going to just add a new document here. Okay. So let's say I added this. I'm not going to bother that's fine. We're not going to actually send it. Okay, so this feature was there in 2010. Tell me how many people actually used it or remember it. So if you click on files, there is a small send to button. Anybody used it ever? Okay, so when you click on that, I can configure it to send it to my archive repository. Generally, that is used to send documents between one site collection to another site collection. But I can actually provide a custom location where people can send it. Okay? Again, this is a little bit SharePoint stuff. That's why I'm not going into the detail. But just understand that it has been configured to send documents. This is available. Okay? So that's what this URL does. All I'm going to take this URL, there's a configure send to action available both on Project Online and on Project Server 2013 on-premises that you can use, okay? The real interesting part comes here, okay? Let's say you configure that and everything is done. What you can now do is do something called Content Organizer Rules, okay? So let's say I have a ton of document types, right? Now you have project charters, scope documents, business cases, meeting minutes, status updates. You have a lot of different document types. When you move all of them, when you send all of them to the drop-off library, Content Organizer helps you organize them based on certain properties. You can define those rules yourself. So I defined a couple of rules saying if it is meeting minutes, send it to the meeting minutes library. So, and configuring a rule is very simple. So I'm going to say get reviews. Okay. And then kind of content type documents. This is what I'm after. Document. Okay. So if the document type is equal to get reviews, I want it to be sent to the get reviews. Okay. And then there are additional properties that you can configure. If there is multiple documents with the same property, it will create folders and stuff like that. Okay, so this is where the organizing of artifacts come into picture. So what you can probably do is if you want, let's say you maintain issues list. So you can say if the content type is issues, put all of them here. This actually works very well with lessons learned. Whether you maintain it as a document or a list, I generally prefer lists for lessons learned. So I generally create a list on my project site saying lessons learned. And then all those elements are in one single huge list or library so that anybody can go search on them and say, okay, this project had these lessons learned, so they might be useful to us. And you can do that with documents also. There's nothing wrong with documents. Okay? But that's the scenario in which you would use this. Okay, so now that is in place, and now it is time for us to build our third component. Who remembers what our third feature is? All right, so the third thing is we are going to build our project site workflow. Okay, when I say project site, the SharePoint site that comes along with your projects. And once I have that in place, we'll do an end-to-end demo, okay? So I'm going to go back to PWA. Okay, I like starting here. I'm going to site settings, start with a brand new site, just so that you can see the process. Okay, so I'm going to create. How many of you use custom project site templates? How many of you, okay, good number of people. I think Brian Smith actually did a blog post for 2010. There are enough blog posts for 2013 as well. The process remains the same, how we can customize a project site template. Okay, so I'm going to just quickly do that. This is my, I'm going to say projconf custom template. Okay, so I'm going to just use the same thing as the name. Okay, select project site and leave everything else the way it is. Okay, so I'm starting with a blank site at the PWA level just so that I can customize it, add my workflow, and then save it as a template. Okay. So that's my project site. When you do this, you need to activate one of the features just so that you see how there are no issues, deliverables, and risks. That actually is driven by this feature, Project Web App Connectivity. So I'm going to activate that. Now you see risks, issues, and everything shows up. Okay? All right, so now I have a blank site template. What are we going to do with it? I'm going to work my demo with the documents library, start here. So I'm going to click on library settings. Okay, so document type. There are two columns I added at my document level so that they show up automatically. And I'll talk about that in just a minute as to how they will be useful. First thing I'm going to do is just customize the view so that I can see what the document type and my archive date is. Okay, now that we have done that, here is the idea. What we want to do is, the way we are going to automate this is when the project admin runs the site workflow, we are going to update all the documents in the library with a certain archive date. Okay, it can be any date you want. Once you update, based on that date, we are going to set a rule saying if the archive date is so-and-so, move all these documents to that central repository that we set up. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So that's why I have this column called archive date. So now I'm in library settings. The first thing I need to do is set the rule to move these documents. So I don't know if you noticed that, so I'm in library settings, click on information management policy settings, document. Again, this is all native SharePoint stuff. There is nothing really advanced I'm doing. I'm going to say enable retention, add a retention stage. Okay, so I'm going to say archive date plus 0 days. Okay, it can be 5 days, 10 days, 2 years, whatever you want that to be. And I want this to transfer to another location, move and leave a link to our, you see how that shows up, archive repository, because we have configured it that way. Okay, so that rule has been set up. This feature in general, information management policy, is used for even more advanced scenarios where you have records management going on, where you have expiration policies on documents. There are artifacts that need to be stored somewhere. So we are going to use this for our basic simple demo. Okay? All right. So now that we have set that one up, now it is time for us to build our site workflow. Okay? So what I'm going to do is just copy that so that I can open it. Go back to SharePoint Designer. Click on Subsites. I'll refresh this just so that I can pick up the new one. Okay, so okay, there is our project conf custom template. So click on that. Okay, click on workflows. There is no workflows right now, so we're going to start with a brand new one. So click on a site workflow. We'll call it project artifacts archival. Okay, and I'll leave that as SharePoint. You see how I'm not this time choosing the project server level. It's now it is simple SharePoint workflow, so I'm going to leave it at that. Okay, while that is coming up, anybody, any questions so far? Is it too is getting too technical? Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that once a project is ready for archive, the project type switches?
You can do that, but I'm not doing that in my system. So in my demo, I mean. In my demo, the project type I'm going to choose is going to use that workflow. It's not switching any project types. But you can do that if you want to.
Like if you have other projects that have different project types, mm-hmm. Either lifecycle, and then it's like archive, the workflow is not going to trigger until it picks a project type, right?
When you create the project is when you pick up the project type. So if you want to switch the project type, there is no... I don't think there is any default action available to switch project types out of SharePoint Designer.
Right. It'll be a manual process.
Yes, it will be a manual process. Then you change the project type, yes.
Is there, aside from the SharePoint Designer 2013 piece, if you wanted to do this in 2010 in Visual Studio,
mm-hmm. Honestly, I would not be able to answer the question because I'm not a developer. I've never really been into the Visual Studio interface myself.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons I got excited when SharePoint Designer was introduced. So, okay, so we are going to take a little bit of deep dive into building this workflow, and I will move a little bit fast so that you can actually see the end result. Okay, the first thing, obviously, in this workflow here, there are two things we need to do. We need to figure out, let's say your library, documents library, is going to have, let's say, 200 documents. How will the workflow know? So we have to count, we have to figure out how many items are in the workflow. Then we have to loop through each of those items to update at archive date so that everything else can work automatically. That is essentially what I'm going to do in the workflow. So what I'm going to do is there is a new action in 2013 called Call HTTP Web Service. Okay, don't get scared by the word web service. If you have been to the reporting session, the OData web service, REST queries, you've probably already heard these terms. I really suggest you get familiar with it because it is going to be more and more useful. The advantage of a web service is that you can query any site anywhere from anywhere. It is not contextual based. You can actually get items, you can get counts, you can post items, you can create items, you can do a lot of stuff with web services in addition to all the reporting that you have seen. If this confuses you, there are actually two sessions on workflows tomorrow. I really, really suggest you to attend them if you are interested, if this invokes any interest in workflows. Okay, so what we're going to do is, I'm going to just go through the process quickly. For us to use this web service, we need to do something called build a dictionary because let me show you how the web service works. Okay, so I'm going to copy that. All right, so this brings you to the site, right? So let's say what I want to do is I'm going to start with adding underscore API. Okay, that is the signal to the URL saying that now I'm going to query the site using this web service. The first thing I'm going to do is look at the site elements first. So what that does, what I just did, adding web gives me all the data related to the site. Okay, if you really look through it and you are able to read through it, it lists all the content types, current user, everything. The next thing is I'm going to just add, I don't need everything on the site level. I need lists. If you have not realized, the document library is also is a list in the background. So I'm going to hit list. Okay, now you see the output has changed. It has changed to, it brings all the lists and regarding list elements into the output. Again, still, we cannot read the output intelligently yet, but that is not what I want. So what I want is I want a specific list. So I'm going to say get by title, documents. That's all I'm interested in right now. It can be issues, risks, deliverables, anything you want, but right now I only want documents. Okay? Now you see the output has reduced. It is only fetching documents related data. But I'm not satisfied yet. So I don't want all the entire document library. I only want the items in the document library. Okay, so there are no items in our document library. It was a brand new template we created, so that's why you get that. Okay, I do not need, again, one more level of filtering. I do not need the entire items list. I only need the IDs of the items. So I'm going to say select equals ID. Okay, what I just did, this is going to be my web service URL. What I just did is exactly what you would do for an OData query, albeit a little bit different format. If you want to do reporting in Project Server 2013, especially Project Online 2013. So I really, really suggest, even though it looks complex, it is not. I did not touch this web service for the first 6 months because it looked so complex. But once you get into it, it's not all that really complex, okay? It does give you a lot of power over as to what data you are retrieving and working with. Okay, so right now there is nothing in the document libraries, that's why we don't have anything. I'm going to just copy that and come here and put it here. Okay, so, and I'm going to use, we're only getting the count of the data. I'm not updating elements, I'm not posting elements by this work in this web service. So I will just leave that as HTTP GET. There are other options that are out of scope for this discussion. Okay, so to use this web service, there is something called a dictionary we need to build. The output of this web service is in a format that the tool doesn't really understand, that Project Server doesn't really understand, or SharePoint. So we need to make sure we specify what we call headers. Okay, so I'm going to just go along with me here. I'm going to just add a couple of things. So this is mostly syntax and than anything else. These headers need to be there for the data to be interpreted correctly. Okay. All right. I did that. I want to store that data into a variable called header. Okay. And then, so what I want, then I want to edit these properties. And so I highlight that line and click on properties and specify, okay, these are the headers I'm passing. And for response, I'm going to create a new variable. Okay, so ID results. You can give any name you want. Okay. So I just specified an input and an output to this web service. My input is this headers value with that web service URL. My output is my ID results. So I just created containers for each of these, and I'm pulling them together. That's all I did. It looks very complex. I can understand. I struggled with this for a long, long time. Okay? So now, what the next thing now the output has come. So let's say in this step, we have the output. How do we read it? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say get item from the dictionary. Dictionary is nothing but think of it as an array of data. I don't know how else to put it. It's a collection of data. So I'm going to say get item. Okay, this is a format to get data. Get ID results from ID results. And we're going to put it in another variable. So list of IDs. Okay, so the output is going to be another dictionary. And then finally, we are going to count the number of IDs. So count the items in the dictionary, list of IDs, and say, I'm going to say total items. Okay, so if I translate this to English, I'm saying, okay, go to this site, read through the list of the documents, get me the total number of documents, and put it in the total items variable. Okay? And we want to just add a custom message saying action. We will just post it to the history so that we can see what's going on. Log into the history list. I'm going to say total number of items in this list is total items. Okay, so that's our first step. Now what we want to do is insert a loop action so that we can update the archive date. Okay, so I'm going to go a little bit faster here just so that we can get to the actual end result. Contents of this, so I'm going to set action, set a workflow variable, set. Okay, so I'm going to set a new variable called loop count. It's an integer to start at zero. Okay, and then I'm going to loop it until loop count does not equal the total number of items. So again, I'll explain this in English. All we're doing is, let's say there are 20 documents in the list. Okay, we want to start with zero. We want the workflow to go through 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and keep repeating that action until the number is 20. That's all that means. Okay? All right, so what are we going to do here? So I'm going to get, get an item from dictionary. So this time, I'm going to read the ID data of, let me do this. Okay. Okay. So we have the number of items, but for the workflow to do something on that, we need that specific ID value. Okay, we are telling, okay, go to item. Let's say, how many times have you added a document into the library and then deleted 2-3 documents? If you remember, SharePoint doesn't update the ID values. Once a document number 2 is deleted, it's 1, 3, 4, 5. It's not 1, 2, 3 anymore. So we just want to make sure that we are updating the right ID value. Okay? So from dictionary ID resource. Okay, I made a small mistake there. So that needs to be loop count. Okay, and then I'm going to just create a new variable, ID value. Okay, hang on with me. I know how you're feeling, but the end results will be beautiful. Okay, all right. So we got the ID value, and then for each ID value, this is when we just want to update the list item. Okay, now this is a simple menu item. So I'm going to update for in the documents library, I'm going to update the archive date to a current date or any specific date that you want. And this can be variable also, but for now I'm going to just say today. Okay, where the ID value equals what we are configuring. Okay, all right, and then we're going to add, do a simple calculation. Where is my do calculation? So we are going to go to the next item in the list. Add loop count value 1 and put it into a new variable called new count. Okay, and finally we're going to add action set variable workflow variable, set loop count back to new count. Okay. All right, what did I just do there? The last three things is that we are updating based on the ID value. I'm updating each document property, and then I'm adding one to the count. It's a looping index, and then finally setting it back to that index. Okay, so somewhere in here we can actually add a custom message so that we can see what's going on again. So log to history list, I'm going to put in a custom message saying, okay, now updating ID item number, and then add the ID value there. Okay, and then finally we end the workflow. All right, people still awake? Check. All right, so this will be, obviously this is all being recorded, so this will be available. I'm going to just check for errors. The workflow contains no errors. I'm going to publish. Okay, while that is going on, any questions? Yeah. Maybe that's a disadvantage of not being a developer, I guess. Go ahead, sir.
Will this work for nested documents and folders and subfolders?
Yes, it's just that you need to be able to, I would rather work at the GUI level in terms of whether your archive date property is at the folder level or is it at document level, but it can loop inside the folders also. Because I'm setting my the column I set up is a site column added to the document content type directly. So whether it is residing within a folder or whether it is outside, as long as the content type is document, it will update it. Okay, so that is published. I'm going to, so let's go back over our template. Okay, so how can you see the workflow template, the site workflow that we just created. So if you click on site contents and click on site workflows, so there is our workflow. Okay, right now there are no documents, so we will not have anything. Okay, the last thing I'm going to do is click on site settings and save this as a template. Okay, so projconf demo template. Okay, so you don't forget to check include content, because this is a custom workflow. You need to include the content for the workflow to be included in the template. Hit OK. All right, it's working on it. And once it is done, it will show it is successful. And then we are going to attach this template to our enterprise project type, and then we can see the result. How many of you actually use workflows for other stuff in your companies? How do you find it? Do you like it? What kind of stuff do you use it for? Governance, baseline checks? Anybody do anything with approvals? And this is all custom or third-party products? Okay. Okay. All right, so the operation completed successfully. The template should be available. I'm going to go back to Project Center. Okay, so server settings, enterprise project types. Okay, so global initiatives. Okay, so here you can set the project site template, projects, I think that was one, right? Go ahead and save. Okay, now it is time for us to actually test out. So we published the project workflow, we published the project site workflow. Now we are ready to go ahead and create a project. Okay, so I will start with a brand new project. Click on New, click on Global Initiatives. So I'm going to give it a name. This is Prasanna's demo. Okay, so give some numbers, $3 million or $300 million, whatever. Okay, so some numbers just so that we can see the snapshot data. All right, I'm going to hit Save. So it is going to create the project with the workflow that we created. Okay, so there is our workflow status. How many people like the workflow status? I think it is very nice. There was no workflow visualized. Again, if you're thinking from a Visual Studio perspective, you probably have more options, but this is out of the box, works for many people. It requires a little bit of understanding, but what you see in the green is where your project is currently. That's pretty much it. The future stages are shown in blue. Okay, so I'm going to just go through and all the way until finished, just so that we can see what happens then. Okay, so move to requirements, move to manage. Okay, and then one more submit. Okay, so as soon as it moved to finish, let me close that, because we had a custom field update. The custom field requires you to have the project checked in so that it can update. Okay, so what if you noticed, when it hit the finished stage, the final phase, in that phase, we have two stages. One was closed and one was archived. So I'm going to wait. Remember, we introduced a 1 minute wait. So we're going to wait a minute and then check. So you can refresh. Okay, so you can actually see the additional workflow details as to what's going on, whether there are any errors or stuff like that. So as you can see, it moved through all the stages. Now it is waiting. And we can see the additional workflow status as well. Okay, so if there is an error, you will see it here. If it is running, it will show that it is running. I'm going to just refresh that. Okay, so looks like the minute is not over yet. When you're actually waiting for these demos, a minute looks a lot longer. Okay, there we go. So it moved the workflow to archive stage. What was the next thing that was supposed to happen? Anybody remember in our workflow? Good. So how can we see the task? So I'm going to come back here. You see the task assigned to administrators of Project Web App. But better than that, it was also supposed to send an email, right? There we go. Okay, so it assigned a task because Ian Cortes, whose account this is listed as a part of the administrator group. So everybody who is part of the administrator group will get a reminder by an email with the message that we put in. Okay, so based on this, now I'm supposed to run this site workflow, right? So what I'm going to do is come back here. Well, I didn't need to. So I can click on project site. Okay, so I mean, we forgot to put any documents in here, so I'm going to just quickly put some documents so that we can see what goes on with it. Sample documents. So I'm going to pull all these documents in here. Okay, so while they're uploading, all the documents are in. I'm going to just quickly update their document type so that, in reality, you probably won't have to do this, assuming your users are putting in these properties when they're uploading the document. This happens over a time. We're just trying to mimic the entire process in half an hour. So I'm going to just say document type, meeting minutes, status updates, gate reviews, lessons learned, and then I'm going to just copy it over. Okay. All right, so we have the document type. Now we are ready to run the site workflow. Okay, click on site workflows. I'm going to click on that to start it. Okay, so can you automate, while that is running, can you automate the Okay, so we have an error in the workflow. So what I'm going to do quickly is use one of my previous templates. Okay, so I'm going to just apologize for that. There is a little bit of error in the workflow. So I'm just using a template that I know works, just so that we can carry on with the demo. So I'm going to test project conf 2. Okay, and then 3,000,005. Okay. What is that? Yeah, that's the cost of go ahead and click submit. Okay. Okay, so while that is going on, let's go to the project site. This seems to be still. Okay, so a lot of queue jobs going on. Okay. Come back here, test project conf 2. So click on project site. Documents. Okay, so pull all the sample documents there. I'm just repeating some of the steps that I already did. Okay. All right, so library modify view, just so that I will add those two columns that we added previously, archive date and document type. Okay, all right, just make sure library settings, information, policy is all set. So you can see that the detention policy is defined. This is the same thing we set previously. Okay, so click come here into documents. Okay, so the next thing we need to do is just make sure the document type is updated. Status updates, gate reviews, license land. Okay. All right, so come back here. Now we want to start the site workflow. Okay. So that's what we should have seen. So if you click on started, so you can see as it is working through the items, so it counted the number of items. We uploaded 12 documents. So the total number in the document library is 12. And it will keep posting as it processes each item. And it is pretty fast, depending on how your form is configured and what is the processing speed. How likely is it that you have 25 projects to archive at any given point? So you can run this in an off hours, and it should not put a whole lot of load on your system. Okay, so once I come here, so if the workflow completed, all items done, come back to documents. So you see the archive date has been populated automatically for everything. Okay, so what was supposed to happen after the archive date has been populated? Anybody remember in all that jumble I went through? It is supposed to send it to a repository, right? And leave a link. As you can see, it actually already did that because I configured my timer jobs to run instantaneously. So what you see here is not an actual document. That's just a link. Okay, that symbol right there shows you that that's a link. So let's go back to our archive repository and see if there is documents there. Okay, sites. Okay, so I'm going to check in drop-off library. So you see there are, about a minute ago, some documents were put together, but there were supposed to be 12, right? So remember all the rules we set up to move documents based on the content type? So it took those documents. Meeting minutes came into meeting minutes. Status meetings came into status meetings. Gate reviews came into gate reviews. Lessons learned, we never defined a rule for lessons learned. So that's why they are stuck in the drop-off library. You can set up alerts to say, okay, if these documents stay like this forever, the admin keeps getting a reminder saying, you got to do something with these. Organize them, set up a rule. No rules have been defined. You can set that to run nightly if you want. So, but if you do this, imagine, increase the scope of this whole thing. Imagine you do this on 200, 300, 500 documents, 500 issue items, 200 lessons learned items, all being run by one site workflow. All you have to do is hit the site workflow, boom, everything happens by itself based on all the configuration you set. Okay? So the other thing that was supposed to happen, if you remember, is that we were supposed to capture a snapshot of the data, right? I'm going to go back to my PWS site. Oh, that's not where I wanted to go. Okay, so my projects. Okay, so this test. Where was my, that was the one. So I'm going to open it up. Stages. So this was never checked in. So check that in, and that will actually generate a task after a minute. I mean, I just did it in a different sequence to show you the document types. But the sequence would have been, it would create a task for you first. It would assign you a task. Then you perform the site workflow. Meanwhile, it is going to take a snapshot of the data, and then it moves to archived. Okay, so I'm going to to that. Minute cannot move fast enough when you're waiting. All right, any questions while we are waiting for that? Sure.
Realistically, you should put a lot more information there. Because I can just tell that tomorrow somebody will say, no, hey, this is talking about what I
need. Very, very, very logical point. Just for the recording purpose, the point that was made was we should add more history, log to history messages along the workflow so that people who are not familiar with it, who are looking at it, know what's going on. So we can always, and it also helps in troubleshooting. So we can say, okay, the item count should have been 15. It only is showing 12. There's some error somewhere. It did not process item number 13. Is it because there was no item number 13, or it did not? There is actually a Microsoft article which lists the best practices in designing a workflow. Applies to both demand management and also SharePoint workflows. So one of those is log as many historical messages as much possible, so that you add the logical steps so that people can understand what's going on. Okay, so that's in the archive stage. So additional workflow data. So there is my task. I'm going to just mark it complete from here for the sake of time. So edit item. So you see how this task actually comes as an approval task, approved or rejected. But in our purposes, I'm going to just mark it complete. That you can actually use it for gate approvals. Someday I'll do a blog post on how to do gate approvals. And I think tomorrow's session will also cover that to some extent. So you might want to attend that if you are interested in gate approvals. Okay, so that is done. I'm just want to refresh that. So it's all complete. So let's go and take a look at the project snapshot. So there is our project. We only said capture total cost. I could have said capture project start, finish, all these values, and they would have all come in. And any custom fields that you add, let's say NPV, ROI, benefits, all the project level custom fields that you are setting up will come through, okay? So this way, what all you have to do is write a report on the list at a list level or export this whole thing to Excel and do whatever reporting you need to. So even if you delete the projects from your draft and published databases, you still have a reporting mechanism after your year of reporting, okay? So, and then one final thing, I'm going to just open up, just show you that the custom field has been set up. There is no automatic publish action, but you will see that the field has been set up. So if you have like a scheduled, you see that project field has been set to archived, okay? So maybe you have a job that runs every week to publish all these archived projects, just so that they're all published one final time, all the data is updated and ready, all right? Find it useful?
Yeah.
Not. All right. Go ahead, sir. Question.
Just to be clear, that's just marked it as archived in the database and actually deleted it.
That's correct. Right now, all we did was set a custom field, mark certain projects as archived projects. So when you're developing a report, all you have to do is set a filter. If project status is archived, don't show it in the report. You could, if you do want to delete it out of your databases to keep your performance up, or you don't want 30,000 projects in your project center, you could do those additional activities, but they have to be manual, at least as of today.
Yeah, we ended up building a utility for 2010 that actually moved project Atlas site to a completely new, completely different PWA instance.
Mm-hmm. That is a good solution. So maybe if I can figure out how to do it with SharePoint Designer, we'll have a next session next year. I agree. One of the requests when we were reviewing my content, one of the requests was we had to keep it no code solution so that it works with Project Online. So like I said in the beginning, Anything I showed you here can all be done with Project Online. I have videos that I have built, which I'll be posting on my blog later, on our company's blog also. So you will see that it all works with Project Online, except that the timer jobs run weekly instead of after 1 minute, just so that that's why we did it on my instance, that's all. Any other questions?
Is there any solution if Mari got hundreds of thousands of projects that haven't been archived and didn't start with a site template with that? Because the corollary to that would be have a site template that did have the workflow built out, but you've made massive changes to, say, structure or everything, things as projects went.
Mm-hmm. The way I would handle it is there is something called a reusable workflow that you can build. I have not experimented with it, but I mean, I have done it in 2010 in a different scenario. So what you can do with that is instead of saying, okay, on this site, do these things, you can say anywhere there's a content type called documents, anywhere there's a content type called project charter, do this. And then you can choose to run it within certain conditions, build your workflow according to that. I would go that route in that case if you already have stuff. And for project standpoint, you might maybe, like the other gentleman was asking, manually like switch project enterprise project types so that it generates reminders and stuff like that. Traditionally, I have been a proponent of just taking an offline copy and store it as another document. I have rarely seen, and if it is, it depends on whether, part of your process should be evaluating whether it is worth keeping or not. Not every project schedule is worth keeping. So there might be some mega projects you do for which, or maybe repeat projects that you do that you want to keep those as patterns or historical record and come back to it. But whatever you want to do, I've always taken an offline copy, put it as somewhere else. I like to keep my databases lean and clean so that they perform faster.
The document repository, was it intended to be a central repository?
That's a very good point. It can be or it cannot be. That's your purely your business requirement. If you have multiple departments, multiple people, and you want to keep your content separate, the only change you would make to this process is that send to connection that I set up, you would set up multiple of those. And say, instead of just one archive repository, you have repository 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you would, in your retention policy, you would specify that.
Yeah, because if you needed to make a central repository, you would need to tag it with the project name or the project ID to make it separate.
That's a very good point. Yeah, so there are two things there. Yes, so you can actually capture the project name when you're running the site workflow. I did not show it here, but it can be done. I think the gentleman's point is when you put these tons and tons of documents in one repository, how do you know which project they came from? So that's a very good point. You can add additional properties also. The one disadvantage of this I won't say disadvantage, a slight drawback is it doesn't retain the properties of when the document was actually created, when it was created by. It uses a system account or the account running the workflow as the creator of the document. So what I have done in the past is I captured those into other columns before moving so that the column data goes as it is. So I don't depend on the system properties to transfer over. So that's just an addition to what you said. Go ahead. Just before I do that, okay. So these are the two sessions I was talking about. And I think in 327, you will actually really, really get into this whole REST queries and web services and all that stuff. So I suggest you get into that. And finally, these are the links I was mentioning. This is being recorded. I will also post this on my blog so that you have all these links. Everything I did today, I was able to do it from those links. So there's no rocket science here. In fact, actually, I think Microsoft has done a really good job of documenting workflows and REST queries this time around, especially in this version. Okay. And then you wanted my contact details, right? There it is. Are we on time? I have no idea. We're 10 minutes over, I think. All right, if no more questions, thank you so much for the opportunity. I hope you found it useful.